when everything falls apart. Praise His name when you have a broken heart. Raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, just raise your hands and say, everything falls apart. Praise His name when you have a broken heart. Raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all
this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Just thank the Lord for His goodness to us. The musicians go ahead and go to their seats. That song's kind of a tricky song, you know, because it used to say, till I want no more. And I'm like, well, I don't want ever be to the place where I don't want any more of God's word, right? So then we made it where till we overflow, but then if overflowing, if you eat too much, you get sick. So I'm not sure that that's the best one either. But anyway, we know what the song's about. We just want the Lord just to give us what we have need of this morning. Yes. So we know that He's very mindful of that, and He's more mindful of doing that than any person that ever walked on the face of the earth. So we trust that He's here this morning. We're gathered in His name and believe that He's here also, because I brought Him.
Yes.
You brought Him.
Yeah.
Each one. And so we know He's here. Just wanted to thank everybody for your prayers, and for my mother-in-law, and for my trip last weekend, and different things. It's been a real big roller coaster for us in the last little while, but my trip down last weekend to see my dad for the first time was good. And So I was telling Brother Tim and Brother Daniel that we were sitting talking, and my dad said, well, he said, I read my Bible through all the way through, and he said, then I read the book of Revelation twice. He said, then I read my Bible all the way through again, and I read the book of Revelation three times. So I got on the edge of my seat. I said, well, why are you interested? What's the book of Revelation of such interest to you? And I don't remember his exact response and what he said exactly, but he wants to know about this. And then about that time, his wife spoke up. She said, well, I'll tell you what I want to know. She said, was the serpent an upright being that talked before he was changed? And I really got excited. So, I went into preacher mode, even though I didn't want to. So I shared serpent seed with them. And she said, mother-in-law, or my stepmother, got to figure out what to call her. But anyway, she said, we need you down here for our Bible studies. We need you to move down here because, you know, so. But then her daughter came in a little bit later, and so she told her daughter, said, he was telling me how that Adam or Cain and Abel were half brothers. And her daughter's like, what were you? So I went through it again with her. So anyway, you know, one man plants, another waters, the Lord gives increase. So I was excited about that, and I know that if they're hungry, God can feed them. And so they're planning on coming up next weekend, and they said several times they wanted to be in service with us. So Lord willing, they'll be here next Sunday in service with us. And for that purpose, I'd like to ask everybody if we could move the voting that we were going to be doing next week, move it on out a little bit further. Now, Brother Dan was going to be gone the next weekend after that. And so we can either do it that weekend and just proxy vote if you want to do that, or we can shift it to the 29th. I don't like doing it so late in the month because I have an annual report that I have to fill out and send to the state before the end of the month. And I like to have the business meeting before we fill out the report. So we'll let you know for sure when we'll do the voting, maybe announce it next week after I talk to Brother Daniel about how we want to proceed forward on it. But anyway, just ask that we could just move that forward because I really don't want to be tied up with business stuff if my dad's going to be here. You know, we wouldn't want to do that. So is that okay?
Right, man. Okay.
So I appreciate that. So anyway, Lord bless you. I want to just speak to you this morning about final overcomers, and I want to open in the scriptures to Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. And this is a scripture we're very familiar with. Chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we're so happy to be here in the house of God this morning and just realizing how blessed we are. Lord, I've been counting my blessings this week and just sensing your presence so near and realizing that, Lord, you still live among your people and you just do things, even when we're not even aware of it. You're just moving and working on our behalf and always providing something that's better for us. And so, Lord, to thee, we give you praise, we give you honor and glory. And just ask, God, that today as we just want to read the scriptures and comment on your word, we ask, God, that your Holy Spirit would just quicken each one of us and that you would have your way this morning in this service. We're asking, God, that you just rise us up above the limitations of the flesh. Lord, let us soar in heavenly places and just be caught up in Christ Jesus this morning. We love you. Ask, God, that you would do these things and ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. So the final overcomers. How many wants to be overcomers? And Brother Tim was singing in the song just a minute ago about us overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so I want to be an overcomer, and I know that you do too. Walked together with you long enough to know that you don't want to be a failure. You want to be successful in Christ Jesus, and he's made it possible for you to be successful. So we just want to talk about this morning for a little while. So we realize in the scriptures that if you read in the book of Revelation, for every church age, it spoke about overcomers. That there were overcomers in every age. And so we can see that plainly. It doesn't take rocket science to figure that out, because it addresses to each one, it addresses to him that overcometh, and tells what his reward is for overcoming. And so as we understand now here in the end time, how that the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ coming to the Gentiles, to a Gentile bride, how it would progress over time, and how that Satan would come out against it. We'll just talk about this for a few minutes just to get where I want to go with it. And so as the ages progressed, Satan unfolded his plan, his Antichrist plan, how he would get into the church and would deceive the church and do all the things that he did. But as that was progressing, God always had a message. God always had a people that he was going to have as overcomers. And you got to realize, Satan, you know, he's a loser. There's nothing he can do to beat the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. So no matter what he could drum up and come up with to throw our way, God, you can rest assured that God will always give to you what you need to overcome your enemy. Now, I realize sometimes we don't always listen to him and we get in trouble. But God is faithful, and he will always place in your midst, he said so, he will always give to you the ability to overcome. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. He will provide that way out, a way of escape. He always does. We just don't always see it. But we need to, just as I've said so many times, seem like lately, not just in the pulpit, just witnessing to people, that God's word is true, and every man's word is a lie. So if I'm saying something that agrees with Scripture, then it's God's word. It's not my word, it's his. I'm just happen to be saying it.
Right.
But if I say something different than his word, then it's my word.
Right.
So really, every man's word is a lie. Mm-hmm. Right? Every man's word is a lie. And what we've got to condition ourselves to do is to pull away from our thinking about something and look at what God says. So when he says he will provide you a way, I don't care if you have fallen flat on your face for whatever reason, while you're right there in the midst of this failure, just record in your mind, I missed God somewhere because he had something laying there for me and I just didn't grab it. I didn't use it. And most of the time we know what our mistake is when we make a mistake. We know already.
Right.
We should have done thus and thus. So he always provides it, a way of escape. And he did that through every age. Always had a message and always had something that he would give. And if you'll notice, in every age he said, he that hath an ear to hear. Because the way of overcoming was to the hearer of the word. And not just the hearer of the word, but those that would be doers of the word. So as Satan's program progressed, so did God have a message. And those who were obedient heard that message, had ears to hear, and were obedient to it, became the overcomers of those ages. And so, as Satan's kingdom gained strength throughout the ages, his deception and all the things he did against humanity, the revelation of Jesus Christ also gained strength. And that may sound like an interesting statement, but maybe I can explain that here just a little bit later. It'll come out. So now we've come through all these ages where Satan was unfolding his plan and God always had people there to overcome. And now we've come to a time that Brother Branham said was Satan's Eden. Satan had come to a place where everything he wanted to put in place and everything he wanted to do to perfect his deception. Because remember, his original ambition was to be worshipped like God, and he's worshipped like God.
Yeah.
But everything he wanted to do, he's put in place. So now, everything when you look after, it's just like what he wants. Right, just like in the Garden of Eden was what God wanted. He wanted these trees here and this water brook over here and all these things. Just like God wanted, and it was perfect for his children.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something. Satan's worked for 6,000 years. He's done this and he's done, and now everything's just the way he wants it, perfect for his children.
Right.
They can prosper in this.
Uh-huh.
See? And so now we're at Satan's Eden. His program has come to the place, and God always had overcomers, and now God has overcomers.
Yeah.
Right here in the midst of Satan's Eden.
Yeah.
And I believe that I'm looking at people who are overcomers.
Yeah.
In this age, to this final age. I think that I'm talking about you when I'm talking about the final overcomers. I'm talking to you who I believe are. And the reason why I say this is because you are listening to a message in this day that God has vindicated and sent. that will make you an overcomer if you take heed to it. Most people shy away from it, but you listen to it. So here we are in Satan's Eden. His deception is at its greatest, greater than ever been before. But God has a message also that has come to its peak. And that message coming to its final age is a final group of believers that are overcomers.
Yeah.
That's who I'm addressing this morning. And so this is really why that you have such a battle to press on. Even more so, as Brother Branham said, in previous ages. Even more so than in the days of martyrdom, because he said, you know, you back then, you take a stand for the gospel, you could lose your life for it. And there was a certain amount of trial that goes with that. But that's not even as great of a testing as what it is in this age for all the deception and everything, because all the tactics that Satan had way back then and all along is now culminated in this age now, and you have to deal with it. You are dealing with things that's greater than what those people who were martyred. You say, that's Brother Tony, you know. No, you are. You are having to deal with deceptions and things that Satan has perfected that he didn't have back then.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's such a tremendous age. And so it's even more so now than in the days of martyrdom. But the thing of it is according to God's program, it has to be this way. Our testing and our trial in this hour has to be greater than all the other ages. And I'm going to go through that and try to help bring that out in just a moment. So you remember the four horse riders. The seven seals was open, and the first four seals being the four horse riders. And the first rider was the white horse, and that was the Antichrist going forth in deception. And so Satan's tactic first when he comes to you, because remember, he wants to be worshipped. And if you believe a false doctrine, he gets the worship, even if you're thinking of Jesus Christ while you're doing it.
All right.
Okay? So he went forth to deceive. And all he was trying to do is trick people into believing something that was wrong. And it started out the Catholic Church, and they went forth. And under that first horse rider, they got enough strength and enough converts under deception and got enough power that he could get off the white horse and get over on the red horse and actually start killing people if they wouldn't submit to the deception.
Right.
See, that's how it works. Now, and so he was trying to deceive people into believing something he wanted. And then if he couldn't get people deceived into it, the strength that he gained through the unbelief he did get, he turned around and brought force upon people. So if he can't deceive you into believing his lie, he'll force you into it. Come along and by the edge of the sword. And so then he did that. And you find out when it come time for the third horse rider to go forth, he was the black horse. That's where he was charging for the bread of life that Brother Branham brought to us. He was a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, but see thou hurt not the wool and the wine. And so you find out there that this same system who wanted to deceive and then became aggressive and was forcing people when he got everything under his control. Now he controlled the bread of life and was charged for it. And Brother Branham has talked about even these modern day evangelists always drawing the money from the people, trying to get their money, extracting their money through holding the bread, holding the gospel over them and saying, you've got to paddle in my boat if you want to be saved. If you want to be accepted by God, you've got to put your money in. That kind of thing. It's in the same spirit, see?
Right.
But that age there, the dark ages, where he had control of the bread of life and basically, you know, what do we live by? The bread, right? And it was, of course, it was their version of the bread of life, what they were offering. But, you know, when they had it locked down and there wasn't hardly any true gospel being preached because it was all underground, it was all so locked down, the church was in a famine, desiring the word. And there was just very few at that time during the dark ages, see? So that was another tactic they had. And of course, you get down to the last horse rider, which is the pale. And that, Brother Branham said, that's a mixture of all the rest of them. So all the things that he did under the white horse, all the things he did under the red and the black is all accumulated together now under one horse in the final day, and that's the guy that you're looking at. That's the guy you're having to fight against. And when you go out, that's the deception that you're looking at, and you have to deal with it every day. And so His strength and all that he came up with to deceive the church is built strength and that one on top of another, and now it's all mixed together into a final ride that you have to overcome. So he can't trick you into it. Now, if you're overcomers to this age, he can't trick you into it. He can't force you into it. Right? He can't hold the bread of life over you and starve you out, because God's going to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. See? So none of those tactics that worked for some back there but didn't work well against the overcomers in those days, all those things have to accumulate. And I'm about to get to where I'm going with this, something I've seen where Brother Branham, what he had said about this. And so as you come forward in the ages, as Satan come forward in the ages, so did the Holy Spirit in this church to go against each of those things. And so what is it that God was doing when that was happening? And I'm going to try and present a little bit different than I ever have before. But so in the Old Testament, all those things that happened was Christ hidden, concealed, and then he came and he became revealed. Right? So he was the revelation of all those things of the Old Testament.
Right.
But now we talk about all that God was, he poured into Christ, and then all that Christ was, he poured into his church. So then he had a church history, like there was an Old Testament history living out him in a prefigure. Now there was a church history living out the bride in a prefigure. And at the end of that age, the bride would come forward, and she would be the revelation of that which was hidden in Christ. Because Christ was the revelation of what was hidden in God. That makes sense? So he poured it into Christ. He became the expression of everything that was old. And now, here at the end time, this bride is to come forward, and she's to be the revelation of everything that was hidden in Christ. So everything in the Old Testament that Christ was, that he was overcomer to, in prefigures in the lives of all the people when he stood on the scene, he was the ultimate overcomer of everything that had been dished out by Satan in the Old Testament. Christ stood there and overcame every obstacle that was put before him. And so what you find out now is that now Christ is in his church, and he's been living through seven ages, and he is once again revealing himself in his people. Because every time Satan would rise up with a Pharaoh, or rise up with a Saul, or rise up with the Amalekites, whatever it was, every time he rose up with something in the New Testament, God would rise up in his church with Christ Jesus to combat that.
Right.
And so that happened over and over and over, seven ages. And here we get to the last age. And now there is to be a bride who is the culmination of all of those things that comes forth now. A final people who's the overcomers of a final age. And everything that was in all those ages comes forth in her now. So, if you remember the pyramid, Brother Bam brings us into the light and the knowledge of this. That the pyramid had those ages. And remember, at the base it was really wide. And that was the early church and Paul. But as we come up through the ages, he said it would get narrower and narrower and narrower. Until we get to the last age. And remember, he said at the last church age, there had to come to a condition in the church that so matched the capstone that it would go from the last church age to the capstone, and it would just, you just almost wouldn't even notice it. Because he said you couldn't even put a razor blade between there. And we know what that is. And so it's kind of interesting to think you could never take what we believe in this message, and you could never go to Luther at his age and present this message to Luther, because they weren't far enough along to transition from just Lutheranism to the message. But you could transition from what God had provided in the ministry of Luther. It did get the church in condition to make way for sanctification for Wesley. So Wesley could fit that, see? But you couldn't take the message and stick on Wesley. There was another stage in there had to come, and that was Pentecost. So that's why Brother Graham said justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Yeah? And the baptism made way for the Holy Ghost himself.
Right.
So Luther made way for Wesley, which made way for Pentecost, and Pentecost made way for a message to come.
Yeah.
See? So that whole transition has to happen that way. It's got to be in that order. And so when a person has an experience with God, you got to repent first before you can ever think about cleaning up.
Right?
And you clean up before you ever have to really know that God's going to baptize you. See? But you got to go through those steps and repent and progress in God. And so he'll show you one thing, and then when you're obedient to that one thing, he'll give you something else. And when you're obedient to that, he'll give you something else. But see, we live in a generation where everybody wants to start out on the top rung. And believe me, God can put you there real quick if he wants to.
Yeah.
But you still have to come to repenting. You be baptized, see, and submit and commit your life to Christ until finally he can work out in your life the things he wants. But it's one step at a time.
Yeah.
And that's what he did through the ages. And so you have to have it work that way. But just realize that there comes a time in the progressing of your life where God cleans you up so much and gets you in such a place that he comes and lives in you. And the mystery of the age is a baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. Can't even notice when it left the last days to become capstone. See? And so now the church, here in the midst of the Pentecostal generation of that we have, in, that God would do something in the midst of this age where we would actually become the capstone ministry, capstone bride, that would be on top of this, all this work that he had done through the ages, that would actually be the expression of Christ himself. So we have to remember that it all culminates into that final one, which is the capstone bride. So it takes the attributes of the overcoming in all those ages to wind up here. And that's where I'm trying to get to. I'm going to read a quote to you in just a minute so you can understand what I'm trying to get at. Brother Bram said, and how can I overcome? He says, now, watch what the overcomers promised. Now, Laodicea, that's the last church age, and there's going to be some overcomers in there. He said, watch there. Remember, each age, the one that preceded it, inherited all the other ones were offered. But he said, watch up here. Now, he's talking about Laodicea. Watch up here. Now, here's after they've done received all the powers and the new names and everything that was written that he promised and teach the hidden manna and all down through the ages. Watch this last church age, Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh, what I grant to sit with me in my throne. Amen. Even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne, he that had ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Brother Bram said, there's a reward for the overcomer. Press on, Lily. If it's in you, lay aside the mud and everything else and press towards the top, yes, sir, to sit with me in my throne. So what Brother Bram was saying, he said, listen, each age, as each age progressed forward and they were tested and they were tried and they were overcomers, they were given an attribute or a blessing for the overcoming. And as each age went on, an age later on was promised the same thing that previous ages had. And so he said, bring it all the way down here. And he said, now watch up here. He's talking about Laodicea. He's addressing that. He said, after they'd all been given these other things, to have a white stone and hidden manna and all the things that all the other ages has been given, it was also given to this age. It all accumulated. But he was showing there, he said, now look what this is given to at the last age. I'll let you sit with me in my throne. He didn't say to Luther's age, you get to sit on the throne. He didn't say that to Wesley. He didn't say it to Pentecost, necessarily, even though that's the same age that we're talking about, him coming up and these things happening. He didn't say that. So Brother Brandon was emphasizing that it was this last age that all these blessings and all these things built up and was attributed to, but when he got to that final age, look what he told them. These other ages said, well, you can get a new name. You can eat the hidden manna. You know, you won't death won't bother you. It's all kinds of blessings that came to them. But it was the last stage that he said, not only you're not going to die, not only can you eat the hidden manna, not only are you going to get a white stone and have a name written in that nobody but you knows, not only all these things that all the other churches before you got, not only that, but you get to sit on the throne. See what I mean? That's what he was talking about. He's trying to show that this could only come to this final age. But what makes this final age worthy to be able to sit on the throne in previous ages, even ages where they were martyred?
Right.
It wasn't given to them. Now think about this. It wasn't even given to them. But this opportunity is given to you and I. And the reason why is because every testing that Christ and his church had to endure under the first horse rider and the second horse rider, all those testings have wound up, and all the overcoming attributes that was in that church now lays within you. You got all seven of them in you.
Yeah.
And so if the seven testings was what it took to bring us to Christ, then you see when I keep showing that he was the full stature, and we had to come to that place where we were with him. That means that every testing and every trying that he was able to overcome, he divvied that out through all the ages and all that accumulated up. And now lying within your experience is a full measure of Christ to overcome anything that Satan wants to try and send you, whether it's under the first horse rider, second, third, or fourth.
Yeah.
None of those things can have power over you. Say, well, I don't feel that way in my mind. You don't have to feel that way in your mind. But the revelation of this word that's living in your heart, that's exactly who we're talking about. That's the person of Jesus Christ. Because Luther made way for Wesley, Pentecost, the person of the Holy Ghost. Right? The baptism made way for the person, and the person is Christ himself. And if it's Christ himself, then every attribute that he has to overcome the enemy lays within your experience.
Right.
You're not missing one lacking bit. And so, that's my punchline. That's what I wanted to show you. So Brother Graham goes on to tell us, he says, I don't know whether to read the scripture or the quote. I'll read the scriptures first because he goes into this and he says, this is in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Let's read this real quick. And so, scripture said, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, which is James and John, and with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand, in thy kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I'm able, that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they say unto him, we are able. Now they said, yeah, sure, we can drink of the same cup you're drinking. What cup was he drinking? The cup, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. So he's talking about martyrdom. And they said, yes, we can do that, right? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm sure? And you look what he said. And he said to them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given for whom is prepared of my Father. Now listen to what Brother Branham said about it. He said, you know, one time the mother of James and John, and this is in the message, How Can I Overcome? The mother of James and John, he said, we don't have time to read it, but the mother of James and John came and asked of this place. And Brother Branham had just described to you what I'm talking about, this place that was only at the end, the final church, that he said, you're the one that gets to sit on the throne. He's talking about that. And he said, they asked, she came and asked for this place. Came and asked for this place. And he said, did you know that? You remember that? Lord, let my son sit on one side and my other son on the other. And Brother Graham said, there's the mother's desire for her son. Wouldn't that be so? I'll tell you what. If I was given the choice of sitting on the side, right beside the Lord Jesus Christ in his throne, or my son would get it. I'd rather my children sit there than me. You see what I'm saying? That's the desire of a mommy. That's the desire of a dad, is for their children to be blessed with eternal blessings. But he said, but watch. But that place, Jesus said, was predestinated. This position was not in existence at that time. So when Jesus is telling the disciples that, he said, I can't give that to you. That's not for me to give. That is a special place prepared by my Father. And Brother Branham is explaining here that the people who's going to sit in that position are predestinated people according to the Father's will. That position is not, and it was not existed at the time. He said, why? Notice it was granted to them for whom it was meant. What? To one that was to sit on the right hand, and the other closest to him was yet an overcomer. See, it was still... He said, I don't grant this, I can't grant this, but it will be given after the trial comes. Amen. See, I can't give this, but after the trial comes, they'll sit on the right hand and on the left. There's predestinated seed waiting out yonder for that. And it will be given to the ones that it's promised to. It'll be given there, but the testing hasn't come yet. And so he hasn't overcome yet. So Brother Branham is pointing out there and saying that When she wanted this position, and Jesus said, I can't give this position away. It's not, well, I thought he, all power in heaven and earth was given to him. Well, it is. But you see, God has a predestinated people that's going to sit there, but the only way they're going to get there is when they've been overcome. When they're tested and tried. So it was a test and the trial, and so he was saying that that position wasn't even existing yet because the test hadn't come yet. Yeah. So down the road, later on after this, when Jesus did this, in ages to come, there would come an hour where there would be a test. And when that test come, there would be overcomers to that age. And that's the group that gets to sit on the throne. Right. And you're talking about the overcomers of the most ridiculous age in all history. Laodicea. They're the ones. Why? Why do they get to sit there? Because they're the ones that have all of the attributes of Jesus Christ in their experience, every bit of it. They're the ones, because remember, she has to come to that same place, and the bride comes to equal through marriage. So she has to attribute, because how many times, Brother Branham, she'll be word of his word? Right? Flesh of his flesh, bone of his word of his word. Right. That she come from the same place he did. And so your experience through the preaching of the word, God in this message is helping you to understand that you come from where he did. You have in you the same word that he was. And you cannot fail. Right. That life that's in you cannot fail. You say, I make many mistakes. So we all have. But you see, there is a life within you. He that is born of God doth not commit sin, cannot commit sin because he's born of God, says Scripture. So that's not talking about you on the outside. That's not talking about the part of you that you know makes mistakes. But it's talking about another person down inside you that's eternal life. And that person has those attributes in there. That God is placing it in there and has brought you forward. And now you're standing here in this last age being tested and tried on every hand from every aspect that Satan could possibly come up with. You know, the spirits and things that travel through social media, they didn't have to deal with that in Luther's day. But you do. See what I'm saying? Everything's culminated now, and Satan is throwing everything he's got at you. Yeah. But he ain't took you down.
That's right.
You're still fighting, still believing, still coming to church, still wanting to tell people about a message. Mm-hmm. He's not able to take you out. See what I'm saying?
Right.
Amen. So this position was predestinated for a people who would come after a trial, after the testing time.
Right.
And Brother Branham said it wasn't even in existence at that point. Why? Because the trial hadn't come. But once the trial comes and there's overcomers, then you know who's going to sit on that position there with him in his throne. And so this is in that message, How Can I Overcome? If you want to go read it and listen to it yourself, you hear him talk about this. Where in there he says, then all these things of each age winds up, keeps coming up until here at the end. He said, look what they're giving. And it's all because the testing, the in early churches, that was Christ in them that overcame, but only in part. Christ in the next age that overcame, but in part. Christ overcoming. But when you get to the fullness of that, and that's all put into one people at the end, it's the fullness of Christ, no longer in part. It's Miss Jesus Christ. She's one with him. See? And so the word, the preaching and word, is to bring you to the place where you, by revelation, realize that the life in me cannot fail. Because remember, he said, when she knows who she is, when she knows what she is, the rapture will go. When we finally catch it and realize that we, what kind of people we really are.
Yeah.
And it'll have to be by revelation,
right,
through the word. That's the only way it can come. So if you remember in the Philadelphian age, now we're talking about all this, and remember, so you come up to the very last age, and this is where we come to fullness, but just short of that age was the Philadelphian age. And look, let's look at what he told them. Remember there in Revelation 3:10. He told to them, he said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. Now I want to ask you a question. Obviously, that hour of temptation hadn't happened yet. Because he told them, he said, I'll keep that from you.
Yeah.
So if it didn't come in the Philadelphian age, when's it going to come? There's only one age left. The hour of temptation, the hour that the church is tested and tried for this test that Brother Ram was talking about, that there would be a time to come that there would be a great testing take place, and the overcomers of that test are the ones that get to sit on the throne with him. And we just read it. Read you the quotes.
Right, yeah.
And this is what he's talking about. See? And so the Philadelphian age didn't have to put up with it, but you did. Now, why so much in this age? Because, but remember, in this age, the bottomless pit was opened. The locust came out. Remember, we went through that a couple of years back? See, things have now come on. When Brother Brown said that name couldn't even be spoken till this day. It wasn't that the mouth couldn't pronounce it, but there's a life behind the name, and there was evil spirits that were let loose on this earth, and it went forth, and it's what has caused the women to change their apparel the way they have and become what they are, to be half-dressed and bebopping the rock and roll. That rock and roll spirit went forth, and the name like Ricky and Elvis and all those names that Brother Ram said, if you follow those back, that they actually, what they mean, there were lives and spirits that came forth that couldn't come forth until to this age. And now here these things have come forth, and you have to deal with them. So there's things now upon this earth that you're having to deal with that they didn't have to deal with so much in previous ages. So he said, I'll keep them from the hour of temptation, but here you are in it, right in the middle of it. So that's why that you're challenged on every hand. Every doctrinal thing that you believe, Satan challenges you on it. And that challenge may come from your own thinking. It may come from people in your own household. It'll come from people that your family, friends, co-workers. You're challenged with it from every magazine, every newspaper, just about every website you could go to, you know, in news articles, you name it, everything out there Satan's eating is designed so that it attacks at you all the time.
Yeah.
You're constantly in their battle with these things. And all they're trying to do is either deceive you into believing his lie, force you in, intimidate you into believing his lie, starve you out so you don't have any strength to fight back.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Everything you interact out here in this world from Satan's Eden is designed, and you are being buffeted left and right.
Right.
Right? About everything you believe. About where you will go or where you won't go with your family.
Right.
The what you teach your children or what you don't teach them. What you allow them to do, what you won't allow them to do. What your work ethics is, that you won't lie like everybody else does.
Right.
See? You won't be a normal car salesman.
Right.
See? Brother, that's what I My wife said the other day when we were talking to my dad and my mom, I guess I'll say, and I think she was saying, see, Brother Daniel's one of the few honest sales, car salesmen out there, she was telling them about. So, you know, but that's true. See, you're being bombarded from every direction, and all of it is trying to get you to compromise just one portion of all these attributes from all the ages of how the overcoming had to be, and now that's in you, and all Satan needs you to do is compromise on one portion of that attribute of Christ. One thing. Clothing, compromise, work ethics, whatever it is, just something, just somewhere in some part of this message, let's just get them to let down the bar on it. And if you let down the bar, are you going to go sit on that throne? No, because she's predestinated not to fall. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Satan don't want you to know that about yourself. He doesn't want you to realize that you have within you that life. He wants you to identify with your failures so much that you'll never give that life in you a chance to do the things that it does. You know, I get this from listening to Brother Brown talk about different situations he was in, but I was telling you about going into the room with Brian Melton's sister and all the darkness and things within her, and I realized, for me, myself, I had no power against anything like that. We don't. But if you realize what you pack within you, you realize the commission that you have, your purpose on life, that you realize that no matter where you go, light can displace darkness, and you just believe on that calling, believe on that that's in you, and you walk wherever you go, and it may take a while, but you just believe on that, and you pray, and you're just asking, and God knows that you're wanting to express yourself in that midst of that darkness. You just keep holding that, keep holding it, keep holding, and at some point, God will move. He does it. You might just have to pray and pray and pray for years and years, whatever it is, but eventually He'll move. See? You know, a plant just wants to push out. Brother Brown used that phrase and terminology. Just drink in and push out. Drink in and push out. Just feed on the Word and push out. That's all we, you know, have to do is just keep feeding on the Word. And we'll naturally push out and grow. And so they challenge you on everything, every doctrine, every issue, just whatever it may be. Monetary aspects. I had people one time when I found out I paid $100 for Bible on cassette. I thought it was a small price to pay, but I had a guy I worked with that made fun of me for spending that kind of money on a cassette tape so I could hear the Bible. It was easy money as far as I was concerned because I wanted that message. I'll do whatever I got to do to get it. See? Same way with buying the message software so I could do searching and like that. It was when they told me how much it was, I said, made no difference. Give me a credit card. I want that. I was willing to pay it. See? Kind of think about Jacob. No matter what he had to do to get that blessing, get that birthright, we're going to do it, see? And that makes us a nut to the world because we want the things of God and they don't care for it. They think it's crazy that you go to church on Sunday instead of going to the lake.
Right.
They think you're crazy, see? But I had one time, just the one time I went to Jeffersonville and went to service up there years ago, a friend of mine and I went up there and we just drove all the way up there, went to one service one Sunday morning and come back. It was on a Monday, was holiday Monday. I think it was at the end of the summer, so it would have been Labor Day, I guess. So we went up there and come back, and the same weekend, my brother-in-law went beyond that to Indianapolis to watch the race. So when we all got back, well, my friend went to work on Tuesday, and they said, well, what did you do all the weekend? He said, well, we drove up to Jeffersonville, Indiana, went to church and come back. And they said, you did what? You drove all the way just to go to a church service? And I had already told him about my brother-in-law. He had went up there. He said, well, that ain't nothing. He said, I know people that drove, somebody that drove even further than that just to watch cars go around the track.
Right.
You're a nut to one. The boat, you know, you're threaded different, see?
Yeah, right.
They think that, you know, but think it not strange when these things come against you, right? Scripture tell you. Think it not strange. See, that's the way it is because you're a different people. And so being bombarded on every hand. And this is what I really want to kind of labor on just for a minute, so that you just stop and realize that everything that you do in life here in this day, probably very few things that you could name that's not attacking you. You walk to the mailbox to get your mail, and I bet you, you encounter something that's trying to get you to compromise.
Right.
This full truth that's being tested, and once it's it overcomes in this hour, gets to go to the throne.
Yeah.
See, the final age, the final test, where everything's been dumped out on you. See? So everything that you interact with is trying to trick you, trying to deceive you, trying to intimidate you, trying to starve you out. See what I'm saying? And we've got to realize that, so that we look at everything that comes in our life and we look at it for what it is and know that that's an enemy and I got to deal with it as an enemy. So if you do go to the mailbox and there's something you encounter along the way, to be spiritual enough to know that's from the devil and hold it right there and not interact with it in a way where he can get advantage over you.
Right.
And everywhere you go, everything you do, to know that that's the enemy. To rightly divide the word of truth and test the spirits to see whether they be of God, and to know whether or not this is here to bless you or bring a curse upon you.
Yeah.
That's what we as overcomers to this last age, we cannot compromise in any area. We cannot say, well, I didn't know, because it's all been brought to us. Yeah. We're in this hour where the whole thing's been brought to us. And it's all resonant right there, ready to live out in you as an overcomer to all things that Satan will try to send your way, because you are Miss Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what he wants to do, is deceive you. It comes through every aspect. And we've just got to command those things and deal with those things in that manner and not let it desensitize you. You know, you can say, well, you know, you can hang out with family members. Say, well, I know they talk in a way they shouldn't, or they dress in the way they shouldn't, or whatever it is you want to say. And I know they do that, but they're family, and so I'll just kind of look the other way. It's a desensitizing.
Right.
You got to hold that right there. And if for some reason hanging with them begins to degrade your experience, you've got to get away from it.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? You got to get away from anything and everything that is a problem for your walk with God. Then you go back to Enoch. He walked with God. And if you remember when I was expressing that, the scripture said he walked. Well, if everybody walked with God, it wouldn't point that out. So Enoch was one of a kind. He walked with God in that day. And so we gave the example, if we walk together, that to walk with each other means that you have the idea of going to the same place. Because if Brother Daniel and I were trying to walk together and he was wanted to go somewhere else, eventually we would part each other because we both had a different idea.
Right.
But to walk together, to walk with God, means that you're in agreement with God.
Yeah.
See? And that was it. So in this hour, we want to be like Enoch, take a rapture. We want to walk with God and have the testimony in this life before our translation that we please God. And the only way to do that is to walk with him. So all this stuff, when it happens to you, when you be tested and tried with everything that comes your way, that it does, all these avenues, then you count it all joy. And that's strange. And you read in the scriptures when the disciples were beat and they went to their place rejoicing because they counted worthy to suffer for his name. And this is why I want to say, you say, we have so many doubts about ourselves that we're constantly fighting. But listen, God found you worthy to have to deal with all this stuff. He found you worthy. He looked at Brother Daniel, Brother Tim, and the rest of you, and he looked at you and he said, you know what? I don't want them in Luther's age. They got much more potential than that. I don't want them in Wesley's. I don't want them just in Pentecost. I want them right down here because I know what I've put in them, and I know that it can come forth in this hour and defeat all those things. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He placed you here.
Yeah.
Didn't he say that he'd always provide for you?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he say that if you knocked, it would be open? If you were hungry, you'd be fed. If you seek, you'd find.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Because if you don't know how to do multiplication in math, if you keep working at it and you diligently seek it, you'll eventually figure it out. See what I'm saying? And if you diligently seek, if you really knock and you don't go, well, he's not coming, I'll just walk off. But if you stand there and you keep knocking, he's got to open the door for you. If you keep seeking God, you're going to find. If you're hungry, he'll give to you. He's not going to give you a serpent. See what I'm saying? So it falls within the diligence of our own part to stand here in this hour, knowing that we are that people. We've got to choose to be diligent enough to not compromise and let what we know to be right inside in our experience come out. That's the choice we have to make, see? Right. And that's being tested and tried under the most deceitful time of all ages, and the winner of that gets to go to the throne. Amen. The overcomer of that gets to go to the throne. A position Jesus said he couldn't even give to James and John. But it's to you if you're overcomers to this age. Amen. So when you see these things happening like that, when you, everywhere you go, you get frustrated. Why do my family, every time, we got a sister-in-law, every time we get together, she just can't keep her mouth shut. She's got a jab about our beliefs somehow. Well, when that happens, just count it all joy. Sister Vicky, when you have to go and visit with your family and you run into situations, just count it all joy, sister. See? Count it all joy. Not that you're trying to be different, but just count it all joy because that's part of it. He's mindful of every bit of it. Amen. Count it all joy to know that you're in that final group of people. Don't compromise on any aspect whatsoever. As Brother Ram said, when she knows what she is, the rapture will go. He said it takes this message to raise up the Lutherans and the Wesleyans and all down through the ages. It takes this. Why? Because if you really look at it, you know, it's us coming to that place, that full measure, that stature. If he said, I'm going to put in the church this fivefold ministry till, and then when that time comes, it's done. Well, until we come to that, it's not done. So until we come to that, there's no resurrection of the saints' fold. But as Brother Ram said, this message will bring that in you to the place that'll bring up the Lutherans and the Wesleyans and all those down through the ages. We believe that. One of these days, we're going to look up and see those that have gone on. Brother Hart. Perhaps it would be Brother Hart. Brother William. We'll be going down in mailboxing. There they are. And I heard Lonnie Jenkins say that one time. He said, just think. He said, before your body changes and you see that other one that's gone on, you know right then you've already made it. Yep. Just a moment, see? And that's true because he's promised in the Word, right? He's promised in the Word the dead in Christ will rise first. And our eyes will see that. Well, our eyes will know this. This is a reunion that we had with them first before we go meet him, says Scriptures. And Brother Branham comes along and he labors to point this out many, many, many times that Abraham and Sarah, that when Jesus resurrected, the Scripture said that many of the saints that were of old, right, the saints of old, resurrected and went and were seen of many in the cities, or I forget how he described it, but many people saw the saints of old, some of them that had resurrected. And so right there in Scriptures you see that when that transition came, there was they come up and people saw them, and then it was part of the resurrection. And so here we tie that over, and now what Brother Ram was saying, that perhaps he called it a whistle stop, that they'd come and be able to visit. And so that's just showing us here that these saints are going to resurrect. They're going to come. We're going to see them. So not all the people see them. And not all will see it now. Right. So I'm just saying, this is not part of, but I'm just expressing to you that when it comes that time, God will open your eyes. You'll see everything that you need to see.
Yeah.
See? So it'll happen. Amen. So it takes this message to resurrect them, and it will. So we have to match everything that Christ was
and that's every temptation. And so he's now once again expressing himself as an overcomer, like he did on Calvary. Now he's in you doing it again, expressing himself as an overcomer to all things. So let me encourage you that you're that small group of people, however many there is on the face of the earth, that's counted worthy, that he would test you and try you with the things that you're tested and tried with. Now, back to Zebedee's wife, James and John, the mother of James and John. He said, yeah, you'll be martyred. You can drink of this cup, but that still don't give you a position. People back in dark ages, yeah, you'll be martyred, but that still don't put you on that position on the throne. That position was given to the last age. Amen. Now you're thinking, wow, Brother Tony, that's a tall order to fill. I know it is. But you know what? It's he that has begun a good work in you, right? And he will perform it. So you don't have to worry about it. All you got to do is just keep feeding on the word, keep coming to church, keep believing, keep praying, keep seeking God, and you'll get your answer. Amen. But between now and then, you're tested.
Right.
You're tried on every hand. And I'm serious. God wants you to command your life. He wants you to address every issue and to, like I said a while ago, to know whether this is of God and to put it in its right place if it's not. See? Because he did. That doesn't mean you don't have fellowship. That doesn't mean you don't go to the house of a sinner. He went. Right? Well, I tell you one thing. You won't have room for false doctrine because he did. You don't have room for renegade priests that try to take people's money or hold them and bind them in fear and hold them where they can't go in. Yeah. Right? You don't have room for that because he didn't. See what I mean? And so it's a glorious time. We got a place in this standing in the gospel in this hour that we want to stand true to and not compromise in any aspect whatsoever. And all I can say is, Lord, just bear with us. We'll keep pressing on. We're gaining strength every day to realize the greater you understand what that revelation is in you and what it entails, the more you fit that image. Amen. I believe that. Do you?
Amen.
Amen. Overcomers of the last age. Let the musicians come. We pray in our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of this service, we want to thank you, Lord, for this time that we're together. And Lord, we know as we gather in the house of God, it's such a special moment, and Lord, that you would come down and that you would be with us in your presence. And Lord, we don't want just to sense the supernaturalness in the spirit realm, Lord, but what's more important is that God, that your presence of your word lodges down in our heart. That these truths that you've committed to us, God, that they would absolutely grow within us in such a way that it just pushes out all other thinking, and that we just live, eat, and breathe, and know that who we are, that we belong to you, and that we're expressing you in this hour. And asking God that you give us the strength, Lord, to take our ground and stand and address. Give us the wisdom that only the Holy Spirit can give through the word, Lord, on how to deal with every situation that comes our way. We're asking God that you'd help us to be good Christians in this hour, good examples of the gospel, Lord, as we go forward. We love you, Lord, and just ask that you'd help each one in this way. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just worship for a little bit. Amen.
We've got the power.
We've got the power.
told my wife, I said, you know what pressure is? She said, what's that? I said, you know, trying to find the mind of God on what to preach for your dad when he comes to service. That's pressure. So I covered your prayers for next week's service, and no guarantee they're coming, but if they do what they talk like when we're down there, I'm sure that they probably will. And so it's been a blessing so far. We would just continue to believe God for everything that he has. So I ask that you would pray. Just remember next week's service, as always, and God bless you. You can be dismissed in the name of the Lord as we sing.